Here we go. You are listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, Rumination Thursday, April the 12th, in the year of our Lord, 2018. And that means with me is the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing very good. And how are you doing?
It's warming up here. We're having a heat wave.
Yes. I heard there's a possibility of 80 degrees.
Ooh, 70 here.
Well, it's always good. I turn my air conditioner on every now and then, even in the winter, to make sure it's still working.
Okay.
In the particular car I'm driving, I've had to put Freon in extra each year, so I'm trying to get away from that by having it practiced during the day.
We'll
see what happens.
Okay.
You have a subject that you would like to discuss a little bit, and when you mention it to me, it really works out very well. I'm doing an adult instruction class, and this Sunday we're up to the Lord's Prayer, having finished the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed, and then Lord's Prayer, and then we've got baptism and the Lord's Supper. And you mentioned that you wanted to talk a little bit about a specific petition. First of all, explain the word petition, and then which one you wanted to talk about.
Well, the petitions are the various petitions of the Lord's Prayer, asking God for something. However, you know, I wanted to look at the the third petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But you said, let's do the whole Lord's Prayer.
No, I said we don't have time.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I said. We don't have time, so we need to just do selected petitions.
Oh, selected petitions. But, you know, it was, I'd given you a whole laundry list of things that that are going on in our world today or personally in our families. And I said, you know, it would be well for us to take a look at the petitions.
Yes, I just had a conversation with one of our listeners over the radio. People will email me, but I do not return emails with answers. I return the email and say, you know, phone me and I'll be glad to talk to you, because you cannot answer theological questions with emails. And this was an individual who's not married and is kind of lonely. And so he was, you know, just simply asking what should he do in this kind of situation. And then I remembered you said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Is it God's will that he is lonely, or what does God do about that?
I don't think that it is God's will that it can be a time that we're alone. It can be a time when we're with others. It really deals with God's honor and our salvation, and how he keeps everything together.
In our hymnal, we have a number of prayers, intercessions, and
right.
And on page 317, I found this one: "For those who are lonely." And let me read it, because you'll see how it ties into the petition you want to talk about. "Ever-present Lord, you have promised never to leave us nor forsake us, but to abide with us to the end of time. Grant that those who live alone may not be lonely, but find both comfort from your promises and fulfillment in loving you and their neighbor all their days through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Now, Luther kind of hits on that in the third petition when he says that the good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also.
Also, yep.
And so I am coming to the conclusion that when being lonely is something that really bothers you, you need to remember, as Luther says here, that we remember the promises that God has given to us and take a look at the situation we're in now that is so blessed in comparison to families throughout the world that don't have that blessing.
Blessing. What also comes to mind is the petition on "Thy Kingdom Come," that we are brought into God's God's family through holy baptism. So in many respects, we're not alone. God is always with us.
Yes, in fact, in the program before me, we had a group of folks who are encouraging us to run in this race to support new immigrants that have come into the country. And time again, they were saying that this is because of our love for God and also the opportunity to share with them the wonderful message of the good and gracious will of God. Because a lot of them are really having troubles living in this country since they just arrived recently, and that therefore it's a Christian duty to help them live properly and get their life straightened out and have the opportunity to share the good and gracious will of God.
Yeah, well, it isn't only just only in those circumstances with the immigrants, which I think is a good point that you're raising, but families that are in crisis, your neighbor house gets destroyed and yours is preserved in a storm, or
all the houses are not destroyed except your house.
Yeah, or except your house. Yeah.
Now, how is God's will done? Maybe here we get a little bit more information how to share. God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. I've said to people who come to church on Sunday morning that if you don't think that God was active in your getting here, let me tell you that the devil would have hoped that every one of you would have had a serious car accident and not been able to get to church. So God is hindering the devil in your life all the time.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me over the phone that there were two wills of God, if you could explain those again.
Yes, when it says, "Thy will be done on earth," I believe that there is nothing that happens on earth that is not according to the will of God. Mm. But there's two ways. Remember, theology is the art of making distinctions. His one will is what He originates. For example, when the world was created, that was totally by the will of God. There was no human being or creature that helped to create the world. So that would be His original will and His causal will, I like to talk about. But then we also have His permissive will. For example, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, this was only because God permitted it to happen, but He didn't cause it to happen. And He had already made preparations from before the foundation of the world, knowing that His creation would fall into sin, as to how He would take care of that. So when we talk about, like, somebody ends up in jail because they robbed the bank, and they say, that is the will of God. Yes, it's the will of God that you're punished when you break illegally the laws of the land, but it isn't caused by God. You made the decision to rob the bank, and therefore you're just getting the consequence of your sin.
Now, would that be the same as, say, you know, you've been told by your doctor, don't smoke, you know, all the years of smoke will give you cancer, or you'll end up doing some kind of heart surgery, but you spend your lifetime doing it, and then all of a sudden you find yourself out on the surgeon's table?
Yes, God does work through others, like pastors and doctors and lawyers and other professionals. Although I was just coming in and listening on the radio here, and guess what? They just celebrated the birthday of the oldest man in the world.
Oh, my.
He's 112 years old. And so I've got a little ways to go yet. But be that as it may, they asked him why he lived so long. And his answer was, because he ate a lot of sweets.
They ate a lot of sweets.
Yes. Whereas if you talk to your doctor, you know, don't eat so many sweets with sugar in them and this sort of thing. So, yeah, the odds are against you when you don't eat healthy. But I've heard other older people, they'll say, well, we had a lot of yogurt while we were on Earth, you know, here and such. So, you know, you can smoke. There are people who are very, very old and yet smoke every day.
Right.
And then there are those who die from smoke inhalation, even third smoke inhalation, where they're just in smoky environments and they die at 30 and 35 years old.
Well, whether it's that or any other, how would we explain that to people when we're praying for them?
Yes. What we're doing, we would explain to them, as Luther says here, that his gracious will be done among us also. So if we're talking about a Christian who smokes and dies at 35 years old, the Lord still is fulfilling his gracious will that he is in heaven. We will meet him again, and he is now in a place where there's no sickness, death, suffering, etc. And that's how we comfort with the gospel for those who die as Christians.
So really, the central part of this is the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Because he's promised to, as Luther writes here, hinder every evil plan, purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. You have no idea how many things God stops from happening to you while you're here on earth as he hinders the devil. And it's kind of a good thing. Like, for example, Thanksgiving meals, a lot of people, before they begin it, will go around the table, say, what are you thankful for? And almost all the time, it's thankful for something they have received. And once I suggested, let's also be thankful for those things we did not receive. For example, you know how many illnesses are in the world?
No.
Oh, thousands of them. And
well, yeah,
people
thousands.
Die of them. And yet, I don't have one right now that has put me to death. Neither have you. You're still living. I'm still living. And yet some of these people die in their 30s and 40s. Why does that happen? Where we're still living and they did not. Well, because in God's mind, he allowed others to die, perhaps to take him to heaven before they would lose their faith. And he hasn't allowed us to die because his gracious will isn't ready for us.
And wouldn't that also say, too, to a degree, that he has work for us to do on this earth? Referring
yes.
to Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship.
That's a really good point to use, especially in this day and age, when what's that thing that in some states doctors are able to do?
Euthanasia.
Active euthanasia, put someone to death. And what are the grounds? Well, she lies in her bed all day. She's useless. There's nothing. She's old. She has no family. Well, I tell you, I've had a lot of shut-ins. I'm sure you have, too. They still make phone calls. Their family still comes to visit them. And God still works through anyone like that in order to have his will known. And sometimes the faith they have is so tremendous. I'm working with a woman right now who was told, they even told her the amount of time she has left to live. And she's still in very good spirits, because she knows that if she does die, she is going to be with Jesus immediately.
I've seen that, too, as a pastor calling on shut-ins. I remember one on Vicarage. They said that she was going to pass on within a month. She went on to live another 3 or 4 years and became an excellent witness, always sharing Jesus in the nursing home.
Yes, doctors are pretty smart sometimes, because they can give you medicine to counter various ills. But to do a prognosis, we had a wonderful doctor at the seminary at one time, and he had a lecture about during his time as a doctor, there were some miraculous healings. A person had cancer, they were coming in for treatment, and when they tested them, all the cancer had gone. And they have no idea how that happened.
But is it our prayers that we offer up, or is it God that's doing it?
Well, it's always God who does it, regardless of our prayers. Our prayers, and maybe this is a point we need to make at this time.
Right.
There isn't a petition in the Lord's Prayer that already isn't being fulfilled by God. Mm-hmm. His kingdom is already coming. His will is being done on earth. We're receiving daily bread. Our trespasses are forgiven. He's not leading us into temptation and will deliver us from evil. So why are we praying this? We're praying this specifically to help us remember his promises and therefore realize that it's not because of our prayer that he's doing these blessings, because he'll even do them without prayer.
Yeah, I caught early on in the Large Catechism that we can't keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. The devil with all his power, the world, our sinful flesh. And you've been bringing that up time and time again in our broadcast that, you know, God's there watching over us.
I don't know if you realize this, but a number of the petitions makes the point that what we're asking for will take place even without our prayer. Like the second petition, the kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer. The third petition, the one we're talking about,
right,
the good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer.
Prayer. Yep.
The fourth petition, God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers. This is really important to understand, and that's the point that you're making, that we don't get these because we pray for them. We get these because we are the children of God, Jesus is our brother, and therefore nothing happens to us that is not a blessing from God.
Which brings us also to the point that we can't work our way or make bargains with God in our prayers that I'll be a better person if you answer these prayers.
Yeah, how many times do Christians have that? There's two ways I see it happening. On the one hand, they'll say, you know, maybe a child has been injured in a car accident, and you'll say, if you get him through this and heal him, I'll be at church every Sunday.
Yeah.
The other way it is said, without them realizing it, something bad will happen in their life from their point of view, and they'll ask this question, what did I do to deserve this?
Right.
That also is a total misunderstanding of who God is.
No. I like the position where you talk about that. We're already getting those things to begin with. And it's a constant coming to him. Actually, it's a reminder of what our nautical president, Matt Harrison, has said. You know, when we talk about the gifts of God in divine worship, we come with an empty bag, and God is just filling those with blessings.
Yes. And the point there is, if we don't come to divine worship, it's not that God still doesn't consider us his child, but our bag of help is somewhat empty, and we're not comforted as much as we could have been.
Right. You know, Luther makes that point in the Large Catechism on prayer, that as his children, we have those sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper, and where are we going to see those, especially at worship?
Yes. Worship is the way that God gives us the sign. For example, when Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness, God gave him the sign of circumcision as a sign that he would keep his promises. When Noah and the flood occurred, God had given the sign of the rainbow that it would never happen again. Well, for us, God gives us the sign of baptism, because in baptism, we have the promise, according to Peter in 2 Acts, that we receive two gifts, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm. And there's a reminder in John chapter 20, verse 30. There are other signs that Jesus performed in the presence of these disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
And then finish that. And yeah, that by believing,
you may have life.
Yes.
In his name.
See, this is the purpose of every sermon, is not just to recount what the Bible says, but to apply it in a way that you realize what was ending in John 20 there, that you might have life in his name. If you're not preaching life in his name, then you're kind of in a problem. Yesterday I talked about the Valley of Dead Men's Bones, that almost all commentaries talk about Judgment Day, when we're going to be raised from the dead. And I made the point, no, the fulfillment of that occurs when an unbeliever becomes a Christian.
Right.
Because they're filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. And therefore, the fulfillment of those dead men's bones being risen from the dead and even ascending into heaven, according to Ephesians chapter 2, because Jesus is the head, we're the body. That takes place while we're here on earth.
Right. You know, reading through the Large Catechism, like I did last night and this morning, brought that home, that Jesus is the head. He's watching over everything. He's there fulfilling all things. So when we pray for somebody going through surgery, he's already giving to the doctors and the nurses the aid that that person has as they're going through surgery.
Yeah, I don't know if you realize or if this ever happened to you, but occasionally, you know, we're a little short on funding to pay our bills. And so you pray to God that hopefully we would receive some more funding. And in that day in the mail, you may get a check like I do often, where somebody is buying some of the products that I have on my publishing company. And it's almost the amount I need. And so there was God already answering my concern prior to my even praying for it.
How about going through the most dangerous intersection in the city of Omaha and not get hit running a red light?
Why do you say that? Omaha, did an accident happen there or something?
Back the summer before I went to the SEM, my mind was off on other things.
Sure.
I went through the busiest intersection in a red light on the rush hour, and not a single thing hit me.
Boy.
And I said, he had to be watching over me.
Yeah, I remember that was in the paper that you got through, but you got through because the other cars veered and they all crashed.
They actually were all stopped, of all things, you know.
Oh, like I say, I drive for, you know, Uber, and in downtown St. Louis between midnight and 4 in the morning, I'll see 5 or 6 people go through red lights. Because come to a red light, you'll sit there for 3 minutes with no cars anywhere, and I've seen people not even stop. They just quickly look one way or the other and zoom through. And so, yeah, there's no doubt that you got to be really careful in certain parts of the city.
And the time of day.
Yes. In Clayton, for example, they're really smart. About 10 o'clock, all their lights start blinking red. So I don't mind stopping. And if there's no cars, you go through. But to stop in the city, I would not want my wife driving down there alone, because she's sitting there for three and a half minutes. And I've told people I could become mayor of St. Louis, and I would make one promise that all the red lights will be cut in half at night, and we would also sink all the lights.
But it's also a case of Lord watching over us, whether we're driving, whether we're walking, whether we're biking, whatever we may be doing.
And that watching over may sometimes include that we do have the accident.
Yeah, it served its purpose. Maybe we slow down the next time and we watch what we're doing.
Yeah, that happens every time I get a ticket for speeding. I do not speed at all for at least 3 days.
You know, and if they let me off the hook,
yeah,
it's good for 6 months.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Well, we're at the end of our time, and as you can see, we did not have the time to go through all the petitions, Wes.
But they answered a lot of questions.
Yes, and this is what's going to be being done. For example, this Sunday I will be doing the Lord's Prayer, and we'll have more time with the class as we go through the petitions. But if we don't get through them, we'll just continue the following week. So we look forward to having you back next Thursday.
Looking forward to it, too. It's always a blessing.
Okay, that's Wes Reimnitz. I'm Tom Baker. On tomorrow, it's going to be Law and Gospel Open Mic Friday. Write down the number, 1-800-730-2727. And you can call me with any theological question on your mind, and we will do the best to answer it. Till tomorrow, then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.